This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
3 o'clock hour gets underway. Gwen and Chris back at it here on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. 3:01 is the time. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. He'll be calling tonight's game along with Jesse Agler as the Padres once again will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Talking about our mental health, that saves lives. We witnessed that firsthand with Odyssey's I'm Listening, a two-hour mental health special. So many well-known artists, athletes, mental health professionals, and you shared invaluable insights and tools to help us all thrive as we go through our daily lives. If you missed Odyssey's I'm Listening mental health special, or you want to hear it again, it's on the Odyssey app, and it's on odyssey.com now. Please remember, it's okay to not be okay, and you are not alone. I mean, just for an example, if you're not okay, you know, you got Scraby. You can always look at him.
I knew that was coming.
Dr. Seuss Enterprises was a proud sponsor of Odyssey's I'm Listening and their efforts to raise awareness for positive mental health.
Yeah. I read that last week.
Did
a
you?
Couple times when you were gone.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important that that one line, it's okay to not be okay.
That's right. Just look at Scraby, like I said.
Look at me. Look at me.
Look at him. We survive every day with him.
Someone asked me how I am able to have a thick enough skin to take your guys' bashing all the time. I'm not kidding.
How about how much thick skin we need to have to take your stuff?
I said, you know, you don't become a recovering alcoholic if you haven't grown a thick skin.
So. Got to have a thick skin. Yeah. To be part of this program. That's right.
You do.
That's right.
You definitely do.
I think it's fair to say that we all take shots at each other, although
more
Tony
frequently
and I
in my direction.
Tony and I take the most shots at you. Tony and I don't take too many shots at each other. We have too much respect for each other. But when it comes to respect, we lack in that category
when it comes
to talking about you.
You guys are just afraid that I'm saying things that you just have never wrapped your mind around
before. Yes, you challenge us in ways that we never thought we'd be challenged before.
Big Five will have a challenging question there.
Big Five is coming up a little bit later in the program. Tony will be back for that. I think Tony's doing an interview with Manny Machado, for his POV show right now.
Things are getting crazy with the season ending. There's
season's
a lot of
ending,
stuff going on.
Postseason's looming.
There's a lot of media
Tony's
happening.
A busy guy. We're busy guys.
Manny's a MVP candidate. You know, he's in high
Manny's
demand.
Manny's MVP candidacy is back in full swing. He really could have put a nice feather in the cap with let's just say a grand slam in the eighth inning last night. Give the Padres a 6-2 win right there.
Hey, you can do it tonight.
Didn't happen last night for Manny. Might happen tonight. He's been just absolutely incredible all year long. Love to see him catch that MVP race right at the end. Although, as I said yesterday, I think Goldschmidt is still the guy to beat. I just don't know that people are going to change their opinion this late in the season. That's what worries me. Not that Manny doesn't deserve it. Not that Freddie Freeman doesn't deserve a shot at it. Not that Arenado. There's so many guys, but Goldschmidt has been there all year long. And now the fact that he has slumped here in September, I just don't know that everybody's noticed it.
Yeah.
We'll find out when the voting comes around.
Because the Cardinals haven't really dipped from their position.
They
too
haven't
much,
dipped.
So.
In fact, they wrapped up the NL Central Championship last night.
That's right. They did, yes.
Yeah. So, and we thank the Cardinals for that because in doing so, they pushed the Brewers,
the Brew Crew,
another game further behind the Padres. The Padres are 86-68 right now. That is 18 games over 500. Scraby pointed this out to us earlier. The most games over 500 the Padres have been all season. But not only that, they're 18 games over 500 for the first time since the 2010 season. It's been 12 years since at any point in time. That is kind of a wow. That they've 12 years since they've been 18 games over 500.
It doesn't seem like it should be that difficult to do, but I guess 18 games, 20 games, that's a lot of games.
It's quite a bit. Yeah, the 2010 team lost its final game of the season that year in San Francisco, you may recall.
Yeah.
And finished the season 90-72. That is the last time the Padres were 18 games over 500. And, you know, it's interesting. It seems like we have spent so much time this year talking about what a tough season it has been for the Padres and how they've struggled and, you know, how they've had to go through these bouts of not being able to score runs and everything that goes along with it. But if they get over 90 wins this year, right, and they've got 86 right now.
So five more.
So if they go 5-3 the rest of the way, if they go 5-3, it'll be the first time that the Padres have gone over 90 wins since the World Series season of 1998. How about that? So for all of the trials and tribulations of this season, they have a chance by just going 5-3 the rest of the way to have their best regular season in 24 years. It almost seems like we haven't enjoyed this enough.
No, we should be enjoying
right?
it more.
Seems like we should have been enjoying it a little more. All right, Tony Gwynn Jr. back in the booth at Petco Park.
We haven't enjoyed it because we've been staving off the sky falling all
season, right.
It feels
that's
like.
That's the perfect point, Tony. That's just the point I was making, that we have spent all season trying to get everybody to worry, stop worrying about the sky falling, that we haven't really enjoyed what's actually happened here.
I mean, 18 above right now?
Yeah.
It's the most they've been at any point in the season this year. And, last time they got to 90 wins was in 2010. To get over it, you got to go back to 1998.
1998, they had the 98 wins. That's the all-time record. After that, you go to the 1984 team, which also went to the World Series. That team won 92 games. And then the 96 Padres won 91 games. That's it. There's only three times in club history that the Padres have been over 90 wins. Three times. They have a chance to make it four this year. Sounds like we should be enjoying that a lot more than we have.
Why didn't we bring these stats out earlier in the year? Because that makes it.
You can't, because they don't sound as good until the schedule is almost complete.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
That's why baseball is what it is. That's why it's a marathon, because the full picture doesn't come into focus until you get to this portion of the season, and it starts to come into focus. Otherwise, you are literally guessing.
Right. Well, now we're guessing, because if they can get 5-3, they'll get 90 over 90 for only the fourth time in the history of the
season. I said 6-3 yesterday is my number.
You did,
in
right?
terms of what they'll do. So they're off to a good start.
Getting 1-0.
Yeah, they're 1-0.
So if they go 5-3, exactly. Then that would be exactly 6-3. So, yeah, I'd like to see them get over 90 wins this year. That would be the fourth time only in the history of the franchise. And, you know, people say, well, then what if we lose in the playoffs? I mean, you can't please these people.
No, there's always something.
Yeah.
I mean, losing in the playoffs would be a little
harsh. No, it's better than not going. I tell you that.
We talked about that.
It is so much better
Tony
than
and I
not
did a
going.
Padres Pen Pals last week, Chris, and it was like one of the questions was, I don't want them to go into the playoffs and just get killed.
It sounded like Scraby wrote the show himself.
I did not write it. I swear to you, I didn't write it.
Yeah. I know there's people that think that. It's kind of like saying, would you rather go to the Super Bowl and lose or just not get there? Of course I'd like to go to the Super Bowl and lose.
As a guy with his team who's been to the Super Bowl recently.
Yeah, but there's a lot of wins and enjoyment and fun and excitement and success that you have to get to the Super Bowl. It is obviously tremendously disappointing to lose a Super Bowl game if your favorite team or, you know, you play the sport. I mean, you lose. I know the 98 World Series, Padres lost, and it's a tough deal. But it doesn't take away the memories of 1998.
No, absolutely. I mean, what do people talk about out here?
1998?
They talk about 1998. It don't matter that they got swept, by the way, in the World Series. I don't even know why we're having this.
I don't know why we waste time.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is ridiculous. I have never met the individual that would rather not go to the playoffs than lose in the plans. I've never met that.
I've never met the individual who'd rather, but it seems like a lot of people call and say that.
I don't think they actually mean it, though.
You think they're just calling for shock value?
Well, no, I think that they kind of believe that inside because they don't want to be disappointed, but I think
it's a defense mechanism.
Yeah, it's a defense
mechanism. They're protecting
their
heart.
Yes, exactly. Because Chris was saying earlier that last year we kept saying, all right, it's gonna happen. Just steady the ship. And then it never happened. So this year we're like, we believe it's gonna happen, but in the back of our head we're thinking, We hope it happens because last year it didn't happen.
That is you know, that's Scraby. That's why I think you are such a fan favorite. I mean, you think exactly like them.
Well, because we all are the
negative Nellies out
we
there.
We are the smart ones out there.
No, you're not.
Hey, I don't know about that part.
Hey. Yeah, I don't either.
I think we agree to disagree on
all
that
right,
one.
Fine.
All right, we're coming up on the break, so let's get our break in, and then we'll have our Daily Gambit after that. But suffice to say, Nicole was our contestant last night in the Daily Gambit. She went for the parlay, and one of her parlays was that the game would feature a blown save last night.
Actually, Chris.
Really?
And guess what? It did, but did that help her win the parlay? We're going to find out.
We should just do it now because we don't have traffic in, if that's all right with you, sir. And we just... We don't want to go to break now is what I'm trying to say.
I wasn't going to go to break this instant, but you've gone
ahead. Like you were heading out.
You've kind of ruined my whole flow there, so go ahead. Tell us how Nicole did on
Scraby, the ruiner of flow.
Great. Yeah. Does this music make you happy?
Why would it make me happy?
Okay. Okay. Let me just talk about what happened in the parlay of the day. Nicole, as we said, sent in the parlay. The first leg of the parlay was Blake Snell to have over 7.5 strikeouts.
No.
Did not happen.
Didn't happen.
Ha-Seong Kim, player over 1.5 total bases. He went 0-for-3. Did not happen. However, the hardest leg of the parlay, the blown save in the game, plus 300.
Done.
It did happen.
That did happen.
And you know what? I thought about this last night. As soon as Josh Hader got out there, I was like, oh my gosh, Nicole jinxed this team. This is going to happen because she was the one who's the only person who's ever picked a blown save as part of the parlay of the day. And then it happened that night. Yeah. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, it did not lead to a victory in the parlay for Nicole. So we remain stuck at only two correct parlay people in the history of the game. All right, we'll do more Daily Gambit after the break. Tony, by the way, where are you standing right now in this Manny Machado for MVP thing? Are you able to make a pretty good case, and do you think that there's a chance that others will hear you?
Yeah, I can make a pretty good case, but my gut says that it's still Goldschmidt right now.
Yeah, so we're kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. He put up such a massive season that I don't think a lot of people, even though Jerry Harrison Jr. brought it up yesterday in making a case for Freddie Freeman, the fact that Goldschmidt has slumped in September has not been enough, I don't think, to get people off of him as the NL MVP.
I mean, he's slumped. There's no getting around that. But look at his numbers.
I know.
Still.
I know.
Even with the slump.
They're still really good.
They're really good.
Yeah. All right. Scraby says traffic is in. May I go to a break now, Mr. Scraby?
Yes, you can, sir.
I appreciate that. May I use the restroom during the break?
Yes, please. Just don't bring your crackers back.
Bring the crackers
back.
No,
do not bring the crackers back. He brought the crackers. Ew!
Hey, guess what? You can win a baseball signed by a Padres player. Scraby, and only Scraby, calls it a podographed baseball.
It's brilliant.
Putting together the words Padres and autograph.
I actually accidentally said that, and that's where I came up with it.
You are so smart.
I am.
Keyword is coming up in about 20 minutes. You'll enter it once you hear the keyword at 973thefansd.com/autographs for your chance to win a baseball signed by a Padre player, otherwise known as a podograph. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. running back and forth from the booth to the booth, out of the booth, downstairs, upstairs. He'll rejoin us a little bit later in the show. Padres and Dodgers tonight, game two of a three-game series. Padres took the opener last night, as you know, in 10 innings by a score of 4-3. As you also know, our parlay contestant last night, Nicole, gave it a great shot.
Yeah.
Correctly predicted that there would be a blown save in the game last night, but did not hit on the other two parlays. That was just a little tease ahead of the rest of today's Daily Gambit.
Oh, that...
What are you doing?
I didn't know you wanted the open, so...
I love the open.
Oh, here we go.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
What else do you have for us, Scraby?
I have a... Well, first, I got a message from Nicole on a DM, and she says she's really embarrassed.
Embarrassed?
Yes, because she spoke it into existence.
She spoke the blown save into existence. Well, the blown save that she predicted could have happened to the Dodgers.
It could have, yeah.
It just so happened to have happened to the Padres.
She said she's taking a lot of... because she told her friends that she made this selection, and right. Her friends are getting on her. So,
well, tell your friends to leave you alone, Nicole, because the bottom line result is Padres won the ball game.
Yep, that's what... Yeah,
so that's all that really matters. Blown save aside.
I said you're free, but if they lost...
You got to win.
But if they lost...
But they didn't, she's all right.
All right, so the Thursday night football game tomorrow night is not going to be on the station because we have Padres and Dodgers. But the Dolphins, your Dolphins, Chris, are going to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals.
Going to Cincinnati. They've already been to Cincinnati.
What do you mean?
They left like yesterday to avoid any of the hurricane problems down in South Florida.
Oh, good call. Good call, Miami.
Yeah, they've been in Cincinnati already.
All right, so they're in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
The Bengals are going to be wearing their white uniforms.
Yes,
all
and
white.
The white helmets.
White helmets.
Debuting those white helmets.
White, so.
You know what's really good about that?
What?
That means the Dolphins get to wear their aqua uniforms.
I do love the aqua.
I love those.
I do love the aqua.
So I'm happy to hear that.
The Dolphins are, surprisingly, I told you this a couple minutes ago. I thought this was a crazy spread, but... Bengals at home are 4-point favorites. The Dolphins are coming off beating the Bills at home, and they're a 4-point underdog.
Yeah.
Is Tua guaranteed to play? Do we know?
Not guaranteed to play. He's listed as questionable with a back injury, which we all know is a bunch of malarkey.
It is.
I mean, if this guy didn't suffer a concussion or at least close to it when he hit his head on the turf in Miami the other day.
You know, he fell. He hit
I'm,
his back.
Badly mistaken.
And it concussed him.
Yeah, no. His head snapped back and hit the turf very, very hard. Got pushed to the ground on a cheap shot by, I think it was Milano, the linebacker
Matt
for
Milano.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
He got a penalty on the play. But, no, I imagine Tua will be all right unless... you know, he still has some symptoms of the concussion. The Dolphins won't admit that he has. I got to tell you, maybe it's just because I'm a Dolphin guy, but I really liked the way Matt McDaniel. Mike McDaniel, my coach that I love so dearly and don't
you
know
don't
his
even...
name. I really loved the way Mike McDaniel just so fluidly answered the questions after the game the other day. And just totally avoided the fact that it could have been a concussion in any way, shape, or form. I mean, he was really ready for it. It was a veteran move by a rookie coach. Because he was asked about it after the game. One of the first things is, how in the world did Tua get back in the game after he suffered a concussion? And Mike McDaniel said, I saw him go down, and I kind of thought a little bit along those same lines. But, no, he had a back injury. His back was tweaked on a quarterback sneak earlier in the game, and that play kind of – so we took him in for evaluation. His back was fine. We brought him back. Everybody knows that Mike McDaniel's lying.
Yeah.
But nobody can really prove it.
Yeah.
So he can just go ahead and keep on lying and telling the tall tale. So I give him a lot of credit for being a rookie coach and being able to understand. If you even hint that could have been an actual concussion, the Dolphins are in a boatload of trouble. Because you're not allowed to bring a guy back in the game if there's any hint of a concussion.
There is one
There's
person.
A lot of protocol there.
There is one person within the Dolphins organization that I don't trust.
Oh, me neither.
The owner of the Dolphins.
Who paid
Steven
off,
Ross.
Who paid off any doctor who might have examined Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, he has a head injury? No, I think he has a back injury.
Yeah, looks like a back injury.
Here's $1 million.
Yeah, here's $1 million. Thank you very much, Dr. Ross.
I know it's not that easy, but it kind of
seems like that's the way things play out in Miami.
All right, so the Dolphins
But
are
anyway,
four
am I going to take the 4 points? I probably would, just because the Dolphins are riding a streak here to start the season. But the reason the Bengals are favored is because they're the defending AFC champs. They're also playing at home.
Have they seen them play this year?
Yeah, I know they're not playing as well, but I still don't think a lot of people 100% believe in the Dolphins. You've got to give them some credit for beating Buffalo, even though they got outplayed badly on both sides of the football. They did find a way to win the game. They got in the red zone three times, and they scored three touchdowns. So that was, you know, the difference in the game. I don't know. I mean, going on a road, short week, it's a tough assignment for Miami to go to 4-0.
Maybe
I think
the short week, too.
I think the Eagles are the more likely team to go to 4-0 this week. They're home to the Jaguars on Sunday. But you know what? The Jaguars might be pretty good.
I mean,
look at their last two games. I know everybody got all over the Colts after the Jags shut them out 24-0 two weeks ago. But look, the Colts came right back and beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And the Jaguars came right back and dominated the Chargers. I mean, they beat them by four touchdowns on the road. I know Justin Herbert's not 100%, but nonetheless, a lot of people had the Chargers going to the Super Bowl this year. And looks like another typical Spanos failure is underway up in L.A.
The Chargers are having a Charger-like season.
Yes, and word today that Joey Bosa is going to undergo surgery for a groin injury and is going to miss quite a bit of time.
Rashawn Slater is out for the year with a torn bicep.
Not good news for the Chargers, but that's okay with me.
Me too.
I'll take the Dolphins plus the points, but if it collapses on them tomorrow night and they suffer their first loss, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. All right, so let's move to San Diego State now. They're taking on Boise State on Friday night, That is a little bit different. The game's actually at 5 p.m., but the spread for this game, Boise State, and I'm saying it Boise because
you're doing it right.
Boise State is 6-point favorites in the game, and I think this is probably a good spread here. I don't know that San Diego State will... I mean, I see them maybe possibly losing by a touchdown. I don't think it's close, though.
I don't know what either way. I'll tell you one thing. The Aztecs have their issues. We talked about them yesterday. Passing game is mired in some difficulty, to say the least. Only 295 yards passing all season for the Aztecs in four games. But defensively, they've been stout. Their running game's been pretty good with Jordan Bird. Their special teams have been outstanding. Here's the other thing about Boise State. They got beaten down the other night by UTEP on the road, 27-10. Boise State reacted to that loss by firing their offensive coordinator.
It's pretty harsh.
He was canned the day after the game. And then not only that, their quarterback, Hank Bachmeier. Right. He was benched in that game. He responded to his benching by entering the transfer portal. So Boise State has some issues here, too.
Yeah.
The Aztecs aren't the only team with issues. And when I get two teams with issues, I like 6 points on my side.
All right,
so
you kind of sold me here. You kind of sold me there. Because usually when you see the name Boise State, you think,
yes, they're usually
good,
very good.
They're ranked.
No,
it's
they're not
be a
ranked at
game.
All. They're 2-2 just like the Aztecs, and they're having similar problems as the Aztecs right now. Both teams, normally very, very good teams, and both teams are struggling at the moment.
They are struggling
so
at the moment.
So it'll be an interesting game, I think.
Yeah. We'll go over some of the other college football bets on Friday or tomorrow as well. But
get you ready for the weekend.
That's about it for today.
It's not a great college football weekend.
It hasn't
been. Are
there
any great
games? No, because it's
not. Because Alabama only plays Louisiana Monroe, and Kent State plays Georgia. I mean, what is with these teams? Play a real opponent, will you?
Alabama's playing Arkansas.
This week?
Yeah.
All right, that's a decent game.
Yeah, number 2 against number 20.
Decent challenge for Alabama this week.
Is this Saturday, October 2nd?
No.
Oh, it's the Sunday.
Sunday is
October 1st is Saturday.
Yeah. Are you sure Alabama's playing Arkansas?
I'm looking at it right here. 12:30 p.m., 10-1-22, Alabama,
yeah, you're
Arkansas.
Right. Alabama at Arkansas. All right, that might be one of the
October
games of the week.
October is almost here?
Yep. October baseball right around the corner. Padres closing in on being a part of it. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. We're going to go to some Rate the Radio Call.
College football's back, Chris.
Scraby's got some fun stuff. We'll hear it all together when we return here on Gwen and Chris. All right, Rate the Radio Call is coming up here in just a couple seconds. 3:37 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. running back and forth at Petco Park. He'll be back on the show here in just a little while. Gwynn and Chris continues here on 97.3 The Fan. You know, we have Rate the Radio Call. I think one of these days, Scraby, you might want to consider, I don't know, this would be tough. You might want to consider every now and again, instead of rate the radio call, doing rate the quote.
How does it work?
I think that'd be interesting.
How does it work?
All right, here's how it works. You find some interesting quotes, some sound from high-profile sports personalities.
Okay.
And then we discuss them. And I'll give you an example.
Okay, I know you have an example. I knew
yes, I do.
You have a plan in place, right?
Today, here. New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick was asked about 18 different times at his press conference the status of his injured quarterback, Mac Jones.
I figured that was the question.
Mac Jones suffered a high ankle sprain on Sunday. He's likely to miss multiple weeks. But the media still wanted to hear it from the great guru himself. 8 different times, Belichick answered the question by saying that Mac Jones is day-to-day. He was asked, do you expect him to start Sunday against the Packers? Belichick said day-by-day. Next question, is the plan for Jones to have a procedure to help his recovery? Day-by-day. Day-by-day. That's the plan, day-by-day. He was asked, are the Patriots and Jones on the same page on how to best move forward? Belichick said, we'll see how it goes, day-by-day. He was finally asked, does he have a high ankle sprain? Belichick said, day-by-day, and then added, what do I look like, a doctor, an orthopedic surgeon? I don't know.
Why are you mad at me, Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick. Just like the rest of these NFL coaches, I know Belichick's going to take a little heat for this one, but in the NFL, they don't like to give out any injury information. So it's funny to me that at a press conference, the reporters think it's really upon them to ask the same question at different times.
You know, it's cute when Bill Belichick did this when his teams were great, but now that your team's not that great, it doesn't have the same meaning to me, honestly.
Officially, Bill Belichick said day by day during the news conference 12 times
today. That is a lot. And as a media member, you have to get that you're not going to get what
you want.
He's
not going to tell you.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell you.
It's just so weird. It's not that big of a deal.
But I don't blame him that he doesn't tell him.
Really?
I wouldn't tell him either.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal to me. He says that Mac Jones hurt his ankle.
Yeah, he's got a high. Well, if he's got a high ankle sprain, which is what was reported, he's not playing for a while.
So it looked bad, too. He looked like he was in a lot of pain.
To keep asking whether or not he's going to be playing Sunday and whether he's going to. I mean, you know, all these different ways to ask the same question. Bill Belichick's not going to give you any credit for that.
No.
He's going to keep you at arm's length. All right, let's get into some rate the radio call. And before we do that, let's check some traffic.
From the really, really good.
Back to the wall. It's gone. Home run derby. And there will be tomorrow.
To the really, really bad.
Wide open. He throws. It's caught. Nixon streaking down the sideline to the 20. Gets a block from Chase.
Baby.
And runs it into the end.
We got some radio calls. Gwen and Chris are going to rate them.
The right-handed hitter back in there. Strasburg ready to go.
It's Rate the Radio Call.
The 1-2 pitch slider. Strike 3 called. A no-hitter.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Rate the Radio Calls, our segment where I play some radio calls. We rate them from 1 to 10. And, Chris, I am so excited that college football is back because college football produces the best Rate the Radio Calls.
They give us a lot of substance.
Yes, a lot of substance, a lot of material.
A lot of material, yeah.
And I think that the Bengals guy in the beginning, I've been looking for Bengals highlights. They haven't had much to much.
Haven't
he hasn't had
as
much
many
to
highlights
get crazy about.
Not
so.
Yet. Hopefully, they won't have any tomorrow night either.
All right, Rate the Radio Calls brought to you by On Deck Small Business Loans, and now we are going to give away the keyword. We're going to tell you the keyword. Enter the keyword out OUT at 973thefantasy.com/autographs. Excuse me, I don't know why I can't read this. Enter the keyword out at 973thefansd.com/autographs for your chance to win a baseball signed
Jeez.
By a podcast. I don't know what's going on. Enter the keyword. Okay, I'm going to try this one more time.
You want me to get in here?
No, I'm going to try it one more time.
You want to go to the bullpen?
You know, it's all you if I can't do this one. Enter the keyword OUT, O-U-T, at 973thefansd.com/autographs for your chance to win a baseball signed by a Padres player. Woo!
Otherwise known as a potograph.
Yes. So out.
O-U-T. Is the key. Go to our website, 973thefantasy.com/autographs.
Thank you. All right. The first call that we're going to do, we're going to start with the historic home run that was hit at Dodger Stadium last Friday. Albert Pujols had already hit 699 in the game. Here is number 700 on KMOX in St. Louis.
Pujols with the widespread stance, arms out over the plate. Bickford from the stretch. The 1-1 pitch, a swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back, that's home run number 700! Pujols hits a three-run homer, and he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium on September 23rd, 2022. 8:23 p.m. Pacific time.
Chris, 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
Well, you know, certainly wasn't underwhelming. John Rooney's one of my favorites, and he's the voice of the Cardinals there. And John Rooney's been doing it for a long time, so I always like his calls. I love the fact that I basically knew it was going to be a home run well before it went over the fence. That's one of my favorite things about a radio call, is that you're telling me what's going to happen before it actually happens, because I can't see it. You know, and obviously this was a no-doubter of a home run, so he's able to do that. But his voice inflection was sensational. It's a historic call. It's good enough to make the history books. But I think for John Rooney, it wasn't enough. It wasn't what I expected. I expect even more from John Rooney. And I think what happened here is that he mentally did not go into this game on Friday night expecting that Pujols was going to hit number 700.
He didn't think he was going to hit two home runs and back-to-back at-bats?
He didn't really think about it. You know, I mean, 699 happened, and the next time he came up, 700 happened, and I think it happened before he was ready for it.
But don't you have that call in your holster?
Well, I think you have the call in your holster if he's sitting on 699, but he was only sitting on 699 for a couple of innings. So I don't think that John Rooney had the call. I think if he had to do it over again, he would have done a little different. I think punctuating it with 8:23 p.m. Pacific time is a little bit dull for a historic 700th home run. I don't think it quite matches up to the achievement. So I'm being a little critical of John Rooney because he's so good.
So what did you give him?
If this was anybody else, maybe I'd give a higher score. But for John Rooney, I only give a 7.
Yeah. Oh, 7's still pretty good.
Pretty good, but not where I normally put John Rooney.
I agree with you. When I went looking for this, I had something in mind. I got part of that. I did not like the timestamp at the end. We didn't need that. I feel like that was just filler because he had no idea what to say.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think he was ready. He sounded like a guy that wasn't quite ready to call the 700th home run.
But I'm going to give it, timestamp aside, I'm going to give it a 7.5 because it was something that I can listen to if I'm a Cardinals fan 20 years from now and I'll remember where I was, type of thing. So.
Yeah. He did. It's good enough to make the history books.
Yes.
It's just not a spectacular one that's going to last a lifetime.
All right. So moving on to now we got all college football the rest of the way. Arkansas and Texas A&M this past Saturday. There's 3 minutes and 20 seconds left in the first half. Arkansas with the ball. First and goal at the 3, Texas A&M Radio Network.
3 to the left by the sideline. Jefferson right up the middle. Dives. Fumbled it. It is Tyreek Chappelle at the 10, the 15. Tackled from behind to the 20-yard line. And still on his feet down the left sideline. Did he hand it off?
He did.
To Damani Richardson.
He's gone.
And the Aggies are going to tie this game. The fumble and the touchdown return. What a change of course.
All right, I'm up first. 1 to 10, rate that radio call. I'm going to give it a 5, and here's why. Number one, you see, you know what's funny too, Chris, is that listeners tell me they look at these calls like we do now for Rate the Radio Call.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it a 5 because he never told anyone where the fumble recovery was going. He didn't say what side of the field it was. He did say the dive was up the middle. But then at the end he said, this will tie the game. That actually doesn't tie the game. That puts them down by 1 point. They still have to make the extra point. So I'm going to give him a 5 for this. I think it was a hard call because the guy did hand it off as he was being tackled, But I think this one was just kind of a mess.
This was a bunch of confusion. It really, truly was. I'm not giving it any higher than a 4.5. Number one, the guy dove into the middle of the pile, as you said, on the handoff. The next thing he said was that Texas A&M picked it up at the 10-yard line. I don't know how in the world the ball went from diving to the goal line to sitting out at the 10-yard line where it was picked up by Texas A&M. He also committed my number one sin of a radio call.
Questioning?
He asked me a question. Did he hand it off? And then the color guy said, yeah, he did. He did. Go. He's gone. Get in. And then the color guy messed it up and stepped all over everything. Please, when you are doing a radio call, do not ask me a question as the listener because I can't see it. I can't answer it for you. And this was just a mess with the color guy screaming over top of him all the way to the end zone. He got tackled, I thought, at one point. Then did he hand the ball off? This was a mess.
And
I realized it was probably a tough call because there's a lot going on, but you've got to keep your composure while you're describing an exciting play. You can't just go, you know, crazy in the middle of it and just lose what you're doing.
Lose your marbles.
Lose your marbles. I mean, you just become a screaming mess.
I agree with you. I do. I watched the play as the call went along, so that helped a lot for me.
Yeah.
But I will give him a pass on the question because I think, honestly, everybody was asking that same question.
Yeah.
No one saw it being handed off.
I don't care that it's a question. I don't care that everybody who saw it was asking. I just care the fact that I couldn't see it to
answer
his question.
So what does he say? Well, I'm curious. What does he say instead if he doesn't know where the ball is?
It looks like he might have handed it off. He did.
Okay. I just think that's a little – I get it. I do because it was not what actually
happened.
Don't
frame it in the form of a question. Okay. This is not Jeopardy.
All right. No, I get it. I do. All right. Moving on to our next call. Middle Tennessee at Miami on Saturday. Middle Tennessee at their own one-yard line to start the fourth quarter. They already lead Miami 31-17 in this game. This is the Middle Tennessee Radio Network.
Let's see, take a shot here.
Cunningham looks. Play fake. Down the left side. He's got Chisholm out there. Caught. He's gone. He is gone. He is gone. 99 yards. Touchdown, Middle Tennessee. DJ Ivy. How about that? Ivy was the man who was beat, and Chisholm turned on the Jets, and it's a 99-yard pass play.
All right, Chris, 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
I'm struggling on this one. I don't know. There wasn't enough description here.
Do we want to hear it one more time?
Well, if we hear it again, pay special attention to a couple of things.
Yeah. One, we'll not go through the whole thing.
One, where the ball was on the one-yard line, the color guy says, hey, maybe I take a shot here. Now, that's pretty good by the color guy because he kind of foreshadowed what might happen. But the next thing I know, the guy was in the end zone. Or he never said he was in the end zone. He just said he was, you know, looking to pass. And he also said caught, touchdown. A lot more had to happen in 99 yards worth of real estate than caught, touchdown. I'd like to know about where the pass was caught. Was it caught out at the 40? Defender falls down. Caught out at the 40. He's five steps behind the last defender. He's going to run all the way. He's at midfield. He's at the 40. He's at the 30, at the 20. So I think there was a lot of information left out. I'll give it a 5.
A 5. All right, let's hear it one more time.
Let's see, take a shot here.
Cunningham looks. Play fake. Down the left side. He's got Chisholm out there. Caught! He's gone! He is gone! He is gone!
Okay, you're right. He just yells he is gone over and over.
He's got him out there. It is caught. He is gone.
Yeah, he doesn't...
There's a lot more going on in that 99 yards worth of real estate.
You know what I need to do when I'm pulling these? I need to close my eyes when I'm listening to it before I watch the play because I think watching the play as it's going on...
Sure, if you can see it, then that call's not
too
bad.
But you're right. He never said he's passing it to the left side. He didn't say he caught it at the 40.
Yeah, did he pass to the left, the right, down the middle? You know, where did he catch the ball? Did he catch it at his own 40? Did he throw it down to the other end zone? I don't know.
I'm going to give it a 5 as well.
All right.
Just because I don't want to go lower than you.
Good.
But that was,
you're very nice.
That was all right. I mean, I couldn't believe that Miami was losing 31-17 at that. Or now they're losing 37-17 after that call.
Yes, they were.
All right. I don't really know what to say about this one, Chris. Ohio University, the Bobcats.
Yes.
They're at home against Fordham University. I don't know their mascot.
The Rams.
The Rams, wow.
Yeah, Vince Lombardi played at Fordham.
Oh.
But anyway, that's
Chris versus
Hans
coming up in 7
yeah, that's
minutes.
Right, yeah.
Ohio leads this game 53-52. It is the last play of the game, and Fordham has the ball. Hold on, I put the thing
Wait,
down.
Ohio's up by 1 point.
Ohio's up by 1 point. There's
Fordham
5 seconds
the
left
ball.
On the clock. Fordham has the ball, and they got a Hail Mary to do it.
Okay.
If they want to win.
All right.
Because that would be a spot foul and a pass interference.
Yep.
Anyway, first and 10 for Fordham. Pass thrown to Coco Sulis. Pitches it right. That's Snead. He's undercut. Lost the ball. Ohio's on it. The Bobcats can run it back for a score. Bryce Houston will. Into the house for 6 for the Cats. Ball game. Ohio wins. Ohio wins. Ohio wins. 59-52 over Fordham.
Wow. All right. All right. I'm going to go first here. 1 to 10, rate that radio call. That's a 1. That is
one.
That is a 1. I have no idea what happened, and I watched the play. And I don't like the lack of energy. I mean, they just fumble 6th for the win, and he has no energy. He just says, Ohio wins, Ohio wins, Ohio wins.
Well, what happened on the play? I mean, if you saw it, please tell me
okay,
what happened.
Okay, so here's what happened. They threw
happened
one out to the flat on the right side. See how he's told
that's
you the right
a Hail
side?
That's Hail Mary? They threw it to the flat?
They threw it to the flat on the right side. The guy tried to pitch it to someone, but he pitched it to no one because no one
I
was
see
around him, and then they picked it up and ran it back. So yeah. I'm going to give this is a 1. This is a 1.
Description's poor. I'll give it a 3.
A 3,
just
okay.
Just because a 3 is as low as I can go for any broadcaster.
All right, I'll go to 3-2 just so I'm not mean.
No, you're mean.
Right. Well, that's it for Rate the Radio Call today, but I'm happy that college football is back. We're going to get some more.
The color guys were a little quieter than normal, except
yeah
for the Arkansas-Texas A&M call. That guy screamed all over the play-by-play guy.
He did it!
Yeah, the other two color guys, give them some props
yeah
for not yelling over their play-by-play guys. Yeah, you're in the business of describing what's happening. You got to remember that at all times. You have to describe what's happening before you can do anything else. And a lot of these broadcasters too busy yelling and celebrating to tell us what's actually going on.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play some Chris versus the Fans when we come back. 833-288-0973. Call in, play some trivia, win your chance to go to Las Vegas.